issue of the drugs and how we work with schools to combat substance abuse and drugs in particular. We have a school safety program that comes, actually quite an old program, which issue guidelines to police stations on how to work with schools, and one of the specific focus areas that they work on is the combating of substance abuse in the schools. Subsequent to that, the Minister of Education, then it was then the Minister of Education, but now the Minister of Basic Education and the Minister of Police have signed an agreement as well to work together to deal specifically with school safety. So we're currently rolling out that agreement, and the information in the annual report refers to the extent to which we've rolled out a specific partnership agreement with education. We're linking police stations to schools, so we're basically trying to get every police station to identify the schools in their station area and build a relationship with them, and also assist them to set up school safety committees so that they have a structure that jointly addresses the safety concerns in the school. From the police perspective, one of the most important things is that relationship with the school is to not just help them with prevention, but also to respond to safety issues in the school, one of which might be concerns about drugs. So for instance, we can then also start doing law enforcement action in that area if there's a particular concern about whether it should be operating in that area or drug dealers selling drugs. That relationship allows us to be proactive but also to respond to specific concerns. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Questions that members wanted to ask around the last round of answers that was given. Have you forgotten about it? Good. Then we can continue to the next answer. Next answer.
Thank you. Sorry, Chairperson. Well, it depends what you mean by that. I have a follow-up question because my question has not been answered, but okay, let's finish and see whether my question will be answered.
Yeah, I'm talking about the answers that we've received. There were hands up on those questions, but let's go continue with General Pinar.
But are you talking about the first round questions now or the second round?
We have grouped the questions together because a lot of the questions were related. So they've grouped the questions together, they're responding to it. So I'm just saying that's why we dealt with the firearms, we finished it. We've dealt with domestic violence, we finished it. We now with sector policing, and we can finish those questions. If there's follow-up questions, then you're more than welcome to ask them. Just indicate to me. General Masmola?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, members, honorable members. There was a question asked by the Honorable Member, Mr. Groenewald, on what happened to the police at the post of entry that were arrested for corruption. Eight of those members have been dismissed. They were dismissed for corruption, one for culpable homicide, and two, their departmental trial is still pending, it's not yet finalized. With regard to, there was also a question by Mokajin about the people violating the immigration law, as to where are they and who are they. These people are foreigners that get arrested, that have crossed into the country. They get arrested, submitted to the relevant authority, which is the Department of Home Affairs, for processing and thereafter sending back where they come from. But however, we will be aware that some of those people are refugees, they cry refugee asylum, and they go to the refugee registration centers where they apply, and from there they are within the country. Of course, those that don't qualify, they get sent to the Lindela Center and for repatriation back to their countries. With regard to, there was also a question.
Sorry, did you follow up on that?
Chairperson, I'm not jumping on your channel. Just because of what your eyes allow. You see, let's say, I'm just making an example. You arrest a Somalian who is involved with a drug-related issue at the border. And then you open the case, it goes to court, whatever. And then at the end of the day, the Somalian has to be, or anybody has to apply for asylum. what is your recommendation on the 43? Because, you see, I've been, there is a belief in the South African sense that most of the drug-related issues are not yet South African drug-related issues. They are imported drugs. And most of the, I'm not saying someone else, but it can be anybody. Most of the drug-related issues are people. This is why I asked this question, because I want to relate to what the detectives said yesterday about the people that they have arrested and the case, the documents that they are ready for court and so on, with your figures, and what happened at the end of the day. I'm looking at the end of the size of your figures. Of if you talk about 40,000 people that they have arrested for drug-related issues at the border, what happened at the end of the day?
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Mr. Ndlovu. People that we arrest, we process through the detectives, as you'll be aware. They go through the detectives. Once we arrest, they take over the case and they process them further. As I said, well, those that eventually, if they get sentenced, of course they go and serve. If or otherwise, they will apply for asylum seekers, which we can't prevent them for doing that, which is one of the things that they do. But those that are normal, that violated the Migration Act, normally they are people not with drugs. It's just that they are illegal in the country. So those that don't apply for asylum, which are just illegal in the country, we take them for home affairs and then they process them for repatriation back to their countries. With regard to the question of the 409 vehicles recovered at the port of entry, those vehicles were not recovered in the foreign countries. There are vehicles that get recovered in the neighboring countries, that is during cross-border operations between us and the other countries, the started countries. It is not this figure. This figure is for vehicles that cross the port of entries or the line, which we intercept and arrest. And those vehicles goes to the nearest VRS, that is storage centers, and the cases are handled by our detectives, where either they hand over the vehicle back to the owner or the process of disposal, depending how the vehicle will get disposed. But these 409 vehicles that have not managed to go over the border.
To a follow-up question on that, can you indicate to us the movement control system, is it now functional at all ports of entries and border posts?
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, the movement control system, it is functional. The only problem sometimes is the connectivity or the information from us to the movement control system, but it is functional.
And also the Interpol wanted persons listed on there as well.
Yes, they do get reflected. The remaining challenge is that sometimes we have people there that the detective never deflected them. And after we get those people, you find that they are actually no more wanted, the cases are finalized. But those challenges have been addressed. Thanks. The question about the Avalon unit, General Zuma will answer on that one. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, General. On the question of abalone, we do find these quantities of abalone at various ports, more especially at the harbors. There are cases that are pending, which is linked to this abalone quantities that we have on this report. But at the same time, most of the quantities that we find them as cargo or as containers, where sometimes it's not possible to link them to suspects. But the cases are handled by detectives. We investigate further. Thank you, Madam Chair.
General Masimolo?
Thanks, Chairperson. There was also a question by the Honorable Mr. Groenewald.
You find the mini cargo and say you can't trace what?
Suspects, sometimes they cannot be linked, they cannot be arrested, but we do find the exhibit. Sometimes there's no suspect. If you find the abalone in a cargo container, which may not be linked to any person, because most of the time the consignment, and once you detain the consignment, the owners will not come forward.
I have a problem. Excuse me, Chairperson, I'm not jumping on you, Chairperson. My apology, Chairperson, I'm not jumping on you. It's because I want to link up with what Chair Zuma said. That means there is no coordination with the other departments. Because if, let's say the cargo comes with a ship here in Cape Town, and then that means the people from Railway or Praga are not involved. If they are involved, where is the coordination? Because you can't say that that person can ship something from China up to here and he can't be arrested. That's my problem. You see, but I'm asking that not directly to you. I'm asking that because it only shows the figures here. It doesn't say where they come from and whatever and so on. But yesterday when we were dealing with detectives, there were minor things that they have said that they, these are the people who have been arrested. There were small figures of the people who are in South Africa and so on. But when you, every day, maybe it will be an item this evening, that you will find that somewhere in Devon or Richards Bay or here in Cape Town or PE, you find that this is what has happened and so on. But I'm leaving this question to that saying that is there any coordination with other departments making sure that it's not just your job, but it's other people who are dealing with the matter?
You can answer that, General, as far as possible, but I think there's a lot of things that comes in. Trading industry and licensing of import comes in, Justice Department comes in, etc. So I think there's a lot of it. I think you can answer it so far as SAPS is concerned.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. There is a widespread coordination amongst all formations of state. And I may say here as well that we are dealing with criminal syndicates. So obviously once they realize that we've intercepted their consignment, then you will hardly find a person who will come and claim the consignment. But mostly these quantities of abalone are for export purposes. They are exporting them to other countries. So we intercept and then you find that we have to liaise with the external partners, which we do. Sometimes we do sting operations on the other side. You might have heard about others in Malaysia a few months ago.
I presume where we have extradition agreements, you would then ask for those people to be extradited to South Africa.
Thanks, Chairperson. There was a question about how we do station visit, whether we go into... Yes, as you do station visit, one station visit is service, to check on the service delivery. That's where one concentrate on the CSC. And detailed station visit, that's where you go through each and everything, and normally you do it during the day where the respective, the DFOs and the SAP 13 clerks are present at the station. Then you will go, of course, you can't take it from the member. You'll go and check the registers properly to see to it that what is in the register is what is in those specific storage places. Well, the service delivery visits can be done after hours while those people are not available, and there that's more the front line, just to check on the front line supervision and service delivery to the public. There was also a question around the interference at the CPFs by questions sound more specific, so if maybe one can get the details from the Honorable Member, Ms. Barnett.
Sorry, if I may correct you, it was not about interference by civil organizations or unions, it was about interference by SACs, who are forcing people to sign confidentiality agreements, and who are interfering and attempting to rule the CPFs as opposed to being allowing CPFs to do their correct oversight role.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll get the details from Honorable Member Barnard and attend to that specific case. There was a question also by General Mutiba on dealing with the 10111 Center question. There was also a question raised by Honorable Member Mr. Hume about on slide 211. You'd remember when I started, I spoke about the exclusion of certain slides, and that slide falls within those. Thank you, General Mutiba.
General Mutiba, if you could.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Not a chairperson. On that, if we say that the slide is not included, why didn't we receive it then, or is it a matter of that the specific general cannot answer that question, is that of not in his field or what?
Sergeant Colonel.
You're wrong again.
Honourable Colonel, I think you were not in the meeting when they highlighted that these slides were wrongly included and that they do not form part of the annual report. Now, I mean, if you've got a question that is relevant to the annual report, you're more than willing, if you can rephrase your question and be relevant to the annual report, you're more than welcome to do so. But the fact of the matter is they did indicate that there were a number of slides that were wrongly included. Unfortunate slides, I must say. But continue, please.
Chairperson, can I just say, it doesn't make sense to me because I have the annual report here and if it is put in there, it says that is the policy. It just doesn't make sense, but okay. There are quite a lot of things that doesn't make sense.
I'm
also confused like the Honourable Commissioner now.
I think there is a presentation on the annual report and there is the annual report. So in the presentation there are slides that should not be there. Can we continue? Honourable Lady?
Make a request, General Mutiba is the one who's going to respond. You remember before we left, he answered the issue of stock theft, but he just glossed over it. We still got follow-up questions on the issue of stock theft, which some of them we asked the detectives, you know, these are the people who must answer this question.
There is no follow-up questions on the stock theft. The Honourable Member forgot his question that he asked yesterday. If he just remembered that question, and I'll allow him to ask you that question. I'll allow you to ask that question. It's about response time that he wants to ask you in terms of stock theft. But can I ask him just to ask you that question, and then, General, you can continue.
Madam Chair, the problem you find, you see, sometimes easy to talk rural, but the parts of rural, probably the farm, the commercial farms, but also the rural villages, they are people who live on stock breeding in the villages. And the problem in the villages, I'm talking about what I've seen, the problem in the villages, especially on stock theft,
respond to that, General Masmola?
Chairperson, if I can start with the Honorable Ruled Judge's question. When last year we launched this project, this pilot project on stock theft, that was informed by many complaints that...
Yeah, General, sorry, can you move the microphone towards you, not away from you, please? We can't hear you.
Next to me, okay, Chairperson, thank you. When this pilot project was launched, it was informed by complaints, numerous complaints that were made to the then National Commissioner General Kelly. And a task team was formed, and the finding of the task team was that most of the time we are reactive. When a stock theft case is reported, the stock theft unit is called, they come and collect the token. One of the recommendations of the task team, which was implemented during the pilot project, was that there be a dedicated, visible policing capacity that will work hand in glove with the stock theft units, that will be able to have roadblocks, that will be able to visit abattoirs, that will also be capacitated in terms of exactly what we mean by stolen stock, because the Stock Theft Act and the Pounds Act are very much clear in this regard, and it is members of the stock theft units that are capacitated. And like I've said, that the pilot project was a success. Now, we are aware about the limited capacity of members in the rural stations. This is one of the issues that I've discussed with the National Commissioner in terms of there are some of the rural areas which are fastly developing, but in the past and even now, the number of personnel that have been allocated to rural stations are not putting these stations in a position to be able to react quickly. One of the challenges is also the number of vehicles that have been allocated. We are not aware of any complaint that there was no vehicle. What we are aware of is that some of the rural areas are geographically very much scattered, and to react, it takes the members some time to react. During the pilot project, we brought in the detectives, we brought in even the ORS was part of the pilot project to say if there's a complaint of stock theft, even the helicopter could be called to react. I remember the management saying that we must react to cases of stock theft the same way we react to bank robberies and ATM bombs. So we're busy with that project, Honorable Mlolo George, and one of the things that we're looking at is to capacitate the visible policy members, because the stock theft units are reactive. They come after the crime has been committed. Chairperson, with your permission, if I can go to the 10111 Center. In terms of the 10111 Centers, as the report is saying, about 43% of the stations are linked to the 10111 Centers, and the rest of the stations are operating on their own, which means that a complaint that is made at the rest of the stations is made directly. The caller calls the station. And then the problem in that case is that this call is not recorded. The station pick up the phone and a fan is dispatched. The advantage with the 10111 centers is that the calls are being recorded. We can say when it will receive the call, who received the call, when was the vehicle dispatched, when did the vehicle arrive at the scene, what did the vehicle reported. One of the questions that was mentioned was also the issue of the quality management, to say if there has been some discrepancies in terms of the way the call was handled, what are we doing? We are not having that information, Chairperson. With your permission, we can make it available. I know that in Gauteng, there's been a complaint, especially by Mr. Abramchi of Crime Line, that case complaint was investigated, but will make a report in terms of what happened to misconduct committed by the call center personnel. Thank you, Chairperson.
Before you continue, I personally have a follow-up question on the 10111 centers. I just want to clarify this. You're saying 43%, or is it 42%?
It's 42.9%, so it's almost 43%.
The fact of the matter is, I heard when you made your presentation in the beginning on this issue, General Masemola, and you were basically saying that the Auditor General's findings in regard to this specific issue is not correct. Now, that is, in my mind, not true. Because the fact of the matter is, the CAS system, and this has been a repetitive finding of the Auditor General. It just happened to be that the Auditor General this time around chose the 10111 Centre. Previous times it was stations, etc., etc. This time it was the 10111 Centre. The fact of the matter is, there is a problem with the CAS system. And unless we acknowledge the fact that cases are not recorded as they should be recorded on the CAS system, then we are putting ourselves in a position where we open ourselves to criticism unnecessarily so. What is it that SAPS is doing? Because I also believe that the Auditor General's patience regarding this issue is running out. And that SAPS might just find themselves next year with a qualified audit as a result of this issue. Now, if we don't address this issue properly, it also creates suspicion around the crime statistics, which we don't want. So what is it that we are doing to correct this situation? It doesn't help to say the Auditor General's finding around the system is wrong. I was also commenting on it, and I said there might be various reasons why cases are not recorded. It might be prank calls. I'm pretty sure the percentage of your cases to 10111 centers are, in fact, prank calls. But it can't be that many. The discrepancy is just too big. So can you give us an indication, please?
Chairperson, honorable members, we sat with personnel from the Auditor General's office. I think what the Auditor General's office doesn't understand is when a call is made at the 10111 center, this call is taken by the call center, by the call taker, is dispatched, and a vehicle is sent to the scene to go and attend. In the past, and I was a station commander at that time, in the past, the call center would say, if that complaint is a case, would lead to a case, the call center, the 10111 center would say, give us a case number. But because there are serious cases where the members would be at the crime scene for anything from 10 to 10, from 2 to 10 hours, depending on the case, as the visible policy members arrive at the scene, they cordon off the scene, they call, according to the expert, if it is an FCS case, they call the FCS. If it's a murder case, they call the detective specializing with the murder. They are not going to open the case. They wait for these members to arrive at the scene. It is then that the scene is processed and a case is opened, usually anything between 2 and 5, even more hours. We then said, let the van report that, yes, there is a case, so it's positive, and no longer a criminal case. Because also the distance between the scene of crime and the police station. So what we said to the Auditor General is, where there is a case to be opened, the case will be opened by the police station, and not as the case being given to the 10111 center. And this practice is almost now about 8 years that this practice has been implemented. In the past, the call center would say, give us a case number. But because it takes a long time, and also we calculate the reaction time, because the call center will not record this until you give them a case number. In the meantime, the van has arrived at the scene of crime. So there has been over 11 million calls, over 11 million calls made to the 10111 center in the past financial year. And
is that they can't link these cases to the IR number. We sat with them, we showed them that if you look at the date, look at the time, some of those cases can be tracked where a case could have been opened. Because not all the calls result in cases being opened. Some of the calls are hoax calls. Some of the calls someone might ask, where is this place? Some of the calls, a case does not necessarily happen. So we're having a report, Chairperson, which shows that the Auditor General was not right in that regard.
You know, I think you're missing the point. The point is, I'll make it again. The Auditor General this time around chose the 10111 Centre. The Auditor General, on numerous occasions, numerous financial years, have made a finding on the CAS system. And the fact that you do not have reliable information to back up your CAS system. That is the point. Forget about the 10111 Centre. That's one example of it. And we must be honest as well, General, that there's been problems with the 10111 Centre, especially the one in Joburg. That's why you had a turnaround strategy around that whole centre. It's not as if for 8 years this thing has been running smoothly. What we need to know is, what are you doing to address this finding of the Auditor General that in the very near future is going to result in a qualified audit for this department? What are you doing to address that issue so that your reliability of information, that is the complaint of the Auditor General, is beefed up? What are you doing to address that issue?
I'm most uncomfortable that we've twice heard now that the Auditor General just doesn't understand what they were doing. They've made a finding. They came in to your offices, did the investigation, as the Auditor General always does. Obviously, one expects all the members of whatever entity the Auditor General is examining to open every book, give every piece of information possible that the Auditor General requests. For you, sir, to sit here and try to claim that the Auditor General doesn't understand what they're doing, his office does not understand what they're doing, and that they're wrong in the annual report, is extraordinary. I've never heard someone question a finding by the Auditor General before. What they usually do is say, we see the finding, this is how we're going to ensure we don't get that finding again, or that it doesn't get worse. I've actually never heard someone basically say the Auditor General doesn't know what they're doing. And that says what you've now done twice. I would ask you to withdraw that.
I'm just still chairing the meeting. If this needs to be withdrawn, so I'll ask for it. Honourable George?
The general motive is that, because if you had to follow your argument, we work on the basis of the information given to us by the Auditor General. Now you come to us and tell us the Auditor General is wrong. How do we believe that? Because it means everything we've got, including, because it's based on the Auditor General. I'm saying, I want to appeal to you, because you are creating a problem for us. Because how do we work now on the information? What if the Auditor General says what you are saying is also wrong? I think what the Chairperson is saying is correct. The Auditor General has made a finding, and your responsibility is to make sure that finding of the Auditor General is corrected. You can't come here and tell us that the Auditor General is wrong. Because what we ask you, the last time we know you were a policeman. Since when did you qualify to be an auditor now, or an accountant, or whatever?
National Commissioner, I saw your hand, but before I allow you to respond to it, you know, General, there's a couple of organizations or entities in the country that members of parliament aren't even allowed to question. One of them is the Auditor General. The Auditor General, before we started this process, briefed this committee as well. Before the committee was briefed, I was briefed individually. After that briefing, all the chairs of parliament was briefed on the Auditor General's findings. We raised it yesterday as well when we dealt with program one. And the fact of the matter is, there are certain key issues that the Auditor General is warning us about in general in the environment of the state. The Auditor General doesn't come to us when we have that bigger meeting and say this is for SAPS. That we get at a different point. And SAPS is guilty of a number of those key issues. Management instability was one of them. The IT environment was another one. And the third one was this one, reliability of information. And I repeat again, for at least 5 years, this has been a repetitive finding of the Auditor General. A repetitive finding. The issue is not only the 10111 centers. The issue is there's a problem in terms of your record keeping. And I can tell you, if you disagree with that, I would challenge you, maybe they've cleaned it up now, to go to Vera Bridge Station and see how they keep their dockets. I can actually show you photographs in washing basins. And there are numerous other stations where we can do the same, where we can tell you the same situation prevails. So there are problems. In fact, Paul Police Station, Paul Central Police Station, I found dockets buried in the ground, close with a door, big hole in the ground, a door put on top of it. So it doesn't help that we deny that. There is a problem. And this problem, not your financial statements like in other provinces, other departments, not your staff issues, this is going to be the result of this department having a qualified audit. That's the bottom line. The Auditor General made it clear to us that they are running out of patience in terms of this specific issue. And you've got to withdraw what you've said about the Auditor General. Please, in the spirit of the respect for the office, there is no way that you can do that. You would not convince the Auditor General's staff when you engage with them. There was a reason for them to have this finding. If you were able to convince them, they would not have had this finding. So, Commissioner.
Chair Becca, thank you. Let me start off by saying, indeed, we recognize the areas that you've highlighted, that the audit is talking to us in terms of improving the leadership, the system, the record keeping. You've asked us yesterday whether we have a plan and a response to those issues. We have indicated as such that the plan has been finalized. We are in the process of discussing that with the Auditor General. That is well noted. That is well accepted. I'm also on record yesterday having said that we are mindful of the fact that in terms of predetermined audit of predetermined outcomes, which 10111 is one of those, we are on the last trial run, and actually the Auditor General has given us, most of the departments, the opportunity to engage, because it's an area that still requires refinement, and I think it's important for us to also all note that. On the issue of 10111, I've actually secured an appointment with the Auditor General because indeed there is a discord of understanding. I will not go as far as saying the Auditor General is wrong, but we will be engaging with the internal, with the Auditor General on this matter, because I think there are issues that our interpretation and their interpretation on some of these aspects need to be clarified. And I think it would be helpful, maybe me and Suret at some point, to actually come after we have the report that on this issue has been put together, and I'd like to be able to be given the opportunity maybe at some point to come back after this meeting that I've had with the Auditor General on this matter and clearing the point of discord. But the three areas that we've highlighted, we truly embrace. But on this issue, I think for better interpretation going forward, we better need to engage with the Auditor General so that, you know, if we are wrong, we are seeing it differently, we can come to a point of discord, because the 10111 will be audited over and over and over again.
No, we accept, the National Commission, we accept that. But the fact of the matter is, this has been a repetitive finding, and it wasn't only on the 10111. It wasn't only on the 10111. It's on the CAS system. It's on the recording on the CAS system. Not only on the 10111. Previous financial years as well, we can go and draw those reports. It's a repetitive finding. General, I'm still waiting for you to withdraw your remark regarding the Auditor General.
Chairperson, with an honourable members, I thought that was a mistake.
Sorry, do you know, if you withdraw, you just say, I withdraw. Argue, you withdraw, you... Please withdraw your remark.
I hope through you, Chairperson, through to the General, the National Commissioner, I will plead that General Matsiba withdraw that without any statement, because I think the Commissioner has already laid the ground of coming back. Let us not prolong this thing and make it worse, please.
Sure. To withdraw the remark. That's the only opportunity you have.
Chairperson, like the National Commissioner said, I will withdraw. But the National Commissioner said...
No, General, there's a simple thing. You either withdraw, there's no buts.
I withdraw.
I really think... that it's unfortunate that we have a situation. There might be disputes around the 10111 between yourselves and the Auditor General, and that's fine. And the National Commission has laid the ground that you want to come back on that issue. But you cannot deny that this has been a repetitive finding, and not only on the 10111 centres, even on police stations that they've audited. And we're waiting for that answer. Forget about the 10111 centre. What are you doing about the finding in terms of police stations? Where, and if I've got to read the Auditor General's finding for you, I will do that. But it shouldn't be necessary for me to read it out to you. When they say there's no proper record keeping, from drugs to cases, etc., etc. Are they wrong there as well? National Commissioner.
Chairperson. My member has withdrawn the statement. The matter that was on the table was on 10111. That's the question we were answering. We were answering question of members, and it was on 10111. We have withdrawn it. I have just said that we recognize the three issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, the leadership, the system, and the record keeping. And indeed, it is an area that is going to be given attention. And I'm hoping that there's a record. We have seen it in the annual report, there is, in the Auditor General report, it is a matter that is receiving attention. And I'd like to put it on record once more to this committee. We recognize the three areas. It is in our report in terms of how we're responding to the audit findings, and our commitment is actually to deal with the reduction of repeat audits.
National Commissioner, the question was not only on that. I asked a follow-up question. In fact, it's one of the questions that I asked the first round as well about the repetitive finding on this issue. But I'm not going to open this thing further. The fact of the matter is, if we have a situation where for 5 years, at least 5 years, this has been a finding of the Auditor General and nothing was done to correct it, then surely we have the right in the sixth year to ask the people who were responsible for it for the past 5 years why nothing has been done about it. Because Clearly nothing has been done about it. If something was done about it, we would have been told. Something has been done about it. But let's move off this one. The fact of the matter is we will wait to hear clearly what it is that you are going to do to correct your systems, including the CAF, but also your sub-13s, the registration of drugs, etc. The corrective information management. And it can't be, and that's the problem, it has become something that we try and correct when the Auditor Generals arrive. It's got to be a daily exercise, and we've said that over and over again in this committee as well. I will allow that we move on this thing, but the fact of the matter is the question was not only on the 13111. I made it quite clear when I asked the follow-up question. Quite clear that this has been a repetitive finding also in terms of police stations. I think last year they audited 15 police stations, or 25. This year they audited some police stations as well. In fact, this year they included stations that the committee recommended to them to include. So it's not only about the 10111 centre. It is not.
Jefferson? Sorry. And I want to solve the problem. Can I just say that it was when you left the chair, the commissioner actually asked a valid question. Because her question was, but for 5 years, the problem appears in front of this committee. What has the committee done to that? But I want to say to the commissioner to have the understanding. Every year we hear, but it is because of these challenges and these problems in the police. So we bear with that. We are trying to say, okay, but we'll give you a fair chance. Solve your challenges. Solve your problems. But then in the sixth year, we say, no, these problems, it seems you can't solve them. So that is the essence of the problem and the questions why we have to wait this long. You're shaking your head, Commissioner. You've got still a long way to go, and it's not a long walk to freedom.
Members, I wasn't here, so I don't even want to go into this thing, but the fact of the matter is, National Commissioner, I suggest that we don't challenge the committee to do what it can do. I really think we don't challenge the committee to do what it can do. The committee asks what are the challenges. The committee vote for an increased budget. When I started in this committee in 1999 in this parliament, in 1994 I was in Gauteng legislature. This department's budget was less than the private security industry's turnaround. It's now on equal footing. And the fact of the matter is, there are other sanctions that we can take. Don't challenge us to take those sanctions, please. Can we continue with answering the questions? Outstanding questions. There's a legal question. The why is it that if you've closed 94,000 illegal liquor selling points, why is it that we don't see? So it's contradicting, it's never been a problem before, suddenly one morning such decide, now it's a contradictory statistic. Can I just remind such as well, on this very specific issue, when it suits you, like it did in previous years, there were a couple of things that you come to us and you say, hey, we want to see a growth. Illegal liquor. Drugs confiscated. Firearms. Drunken driving. Those four. Suddenly this year, because you didn't achieve your target, it's now no longer so. You forget that we also have institutional memory. Can I get an explanation on this?
Thanks, Chairperson. I do take note of what the Chairperson is saying. Yes, we didn't achieve with regard to the liquor, but we achieved with respect to the number of illegal liquor outlets that we closed. These degrees, we thought we attributed to that, but however, we will make sure that we do more operations in this regard. And we look at the issues of administration that has been raised, that some of the cities are not taking into the books. Will strengthen the command and control with provincial commissioners in this regard. Thanks.
Follow up on that. The fact of the matter is that your stations tell us, and across all provinces, and that's why I'm taking issue with you on this issue, tell us across the board, we close an illegal point of sales today. Tomorrow that same one is open again. So that's why we say this argument does not make sense. And maybe it's something that you need to look at. It's good that you closed them down, and we know the challenge again is the fact that in many provinces the liquor legislation are not as strict as in other provinces, etc., etc. But please, let us not come here and try and tell the committee that because we've done so well in X, Y have decreased, and then forget that the committee actually visit police stations, and that the Y is not talking to what we found on the ground, where your police officers tell us, we close it today, tomorrow it's open again. Continue, please. You responded to the high risk incidents? Oh, you did indicate that. 409 vehicles you responded. The two crimes issue has not been responded to yet.
I thought the National Commissioner responded on that.
Is the member who asked that it was Honourable Glover, you satisfied that that question has been answered? The true crimes issue that you asked?
Chairperson, I have a problem, Chairperson, which I'm trying to internalize in my mind. I'm pleading with you and with the subs again that there are things that sometimes it's very difficult to follow, because if they respond to the other questions, it brings back another questions, and it's a lot of things that it happens. And now it seems as if we are going around the clock. We're not achieving some of the other things that we're supposed to achieve. My problem is that why I don't have a follow-up in some other issues is because I don't want confrontation. I want us to understand each other, not us against them or them against us. I want us to look at this picture, all of us, in the same way. That is why sometimes I don't have follow-ups. Thanks.
You're not compliant to have a follow-up, but nothing is stopping members to ask follow-up, and follow-up questions are not confrontational either. And SAPS, if SAPS believe that, then they are living under an illusion. It's not confrontation, it's this committee doing its work. There's the issue of sector policing, the challenges. What are the challenges? Why is it that we have not fully implemented sector policing? Is it still the policy? That was also a question that I have. And I'm keeping record as well, ticking them out. That's one question that I believe hasn't been answered. Challenges, specifically, challenges. We have too few resources, we need more vehicles, we need more staff, whatever it is.
Chairperson, the main challenge is when sector policing was implemented, we made provision for demarcation of stations into sectors and the allocation of resources into the sectors. With the loss of members, with the loss of vehicles, we could not sustain the sectors. For instance, last year, the then chairperson went to Lukwati with the provincial commissioner of Mpumalanga. The station in a year lost 5 vehicles. and we're dealing here with a zero budget. If you lose five vehicles this financial year, you will not necessarily receive five vehicles next year. There are challenges in terms of the garages. Our vehicles that are in the garages are not coming out at as soon as possible as we're getting them. The fact that we are not replacing members at the rate at which we should be replacing them. If we say two vehicles per sector, we mean it's two vehicles and four members. And if you lose a member through one way or the other, a member is killed, like the National Commissioner was mentioning this morning, we are not getting those members replaced immediately. If a vehicle is involved in an accident, the vehicle is not being replaced immediately. Secondly, the issue of the post of the sector manager. We have made a representation, and I think that we are winning. The sector manager is not a post on the core, it's not a post on the structure. We'd want this to be a post so that this person is appointed. It's not told when this relief comes for duty, you are a sector manager. And tomorrow it is another person. The last issue, Chairperson, pertains to issues of the community policy forums, as I've mentioned.
Hang on. We're still busy on sector policing. I'm taking the question so that we can finish sector policing. Continue.
In terms of sector policy, there should be sector forums that are formed in a sector. Now, problems, the sector forums report to the CPFs. If there are problems in the CPFs, it affects the sector forums as well. So this is why I was saying this morning that the provincial commissioners are attending to the issues pertaining to the challenges of the CPFs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, George? Well,
Madam Chair, I must be honest, I'm very disappointed with this response. You know, when this thing, fortunately this thing came from the police themselves, and we're here, and we asked pertinent questions amongst them. Are you ready to implement this thing? Do you have enough resources to implement this thing? And the answer was a big yes. Many years down the line, this issue of vehicles, we've been raising it. I went to a police station, I talked to the previous national committee. Went to a police station, they said, no, we can't function as sector policing because there are no vehicles. We also, like they are saying, remember, I didn't see in your report this shortage of personnel. Because you seem to be now highlighting personnel, you short of personnel. It's all the things you are raising. There's nothing new which you can say something has cropped up. You talk about things. When you brought this thing to us, you knew that it was, in fact, the issue of vehicles was a general problem, which is still a general problem in the police service. It's not something new. And if you adopt that attitude that no vehicles, then it means you never implement sector policy. We asked last, I think, when was you asked, are you able to implement sector policy? And you said yes. You didn't raise the question that the vehicles, you did not raise the question of you are short of members. In fact, in other police stations I've attended, I've seen only one problem. That there are members who are classified as sector, but they have no vehicles, so they end up getting into other things. So now you're introducing a new team, the sector manager. But those are the things which you must introduce. If you believe that they must be sector managers, why don't you appoint them? But I'm saying this thing has been there for so many years. But the answer you're giving us because I can hit that on the problem. It's not problem. It's not, yeah. First time they said, no, the problem is national, not provinces. But it's a problem that has been there. And it is not a problem that the work which has been agreed upon must not carry on.
Honourable Kunamal.
Thank you, Chair. I will be short. I want to ask the policy for sector police. Am I wrong? Because the way I understand it, they say, yes, they've got a sector commander, you've got a vehicle for a sector. But when we get into practice, and that was part of my question which links up with rural safety. Yes, if you've got a city or a town, you've got a sector, it's quite easy to handle, say, for instance, with one vehicle. But the moment when you get to the farms, the rural areas, it's impossible to serve that sector with one vehicle. Now, my question is, does the policy provide for those specific circumstances when the sector is of such nature that you need more than one vehicle? Lastly, I think it was last year, and I can't remember the name, but it's close to Bloemfontein. I think it's Dielsville or something close there. There were almost more than 1,000 vehicles, police vehicles, stored there. And I've asked questions to the minister on the issue. But they stored there. It's new vehicles, and it was said that they had to get some marking and all that sort of things, and I accept that. Of course it must be marked. But what is the progress there? I mean, if there is really... if the people want the vehicles for operation, then you must speed up that process there. What's going on there? What is the police doing about speeding up the process to get vehicles available for the people who really need it to fight crime? Thank you, sir.
Honourable Lobby, you had your hand up.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And thank you for speaking to the General. You see, I have a problem of the responses because some other responses pertain as if we are asking the question. We are responding to their inputs. It's their presentation. Now, when we ask a question from their presentation. Now, the presentation must speak to us and try to convince us. Now, don't try to be defensive. If there is challenges, put those challenges in a different way. Try to convince us. Because if you are talking about vehicles, as Mr. George says, you see, when we are talking about sector policy, we talk about things that's supposed to come from your side, to our people. And then when we talk about you and us together, to the people, we are talking about that. But if you say, I can't do it because of 1, 2, 3, when we have never told us, and on your presentation, you said you can do it, that's why we are frustrated now. I'm really appealing, Chairperson, let us try to do this thing together as a family. Not try to you and us. You are wrong, we are right. What we are telling you is what we know. You don't know anything else.
Honour, before you respond, General, I want this to be the final one on the sector policing, but the fact of the matter is members are quite right, because I can tell you that last year when we asked this question, the year before when we asked this question, the year before, General Price was still head of this board. When we said, by when will you have fully implemented sector policing? The next year. Come the next year. General Pienaar sitting there knows that. Come the next year. By when will you be fully implementing? Next year. Last year you told us the same thing. Next year. Institutional memory again. We remember these things. We live these things with you. The fact of the matter is, you can't come to this committee and say staff and vehicles. Since sector policing have been implemented in SAPS, the SAPS human resource capital has grown by about 80,000 people, if I'm not mistaken. It was at that stage 120-odd. It's now close to 190-something, 70, 75,000 people. That's the number of increase in staff since you've implemented this policy. And as the members correctly say, the policies came from SAPS. This wasn't something that politicians decided. This was something that SAPS said, this is our answer to sector policing. We said, fine, we'll support you, we'll make the budget available. Vehicles have increased since that time, I don't know, maybe General Skitter is able to tell us with how many vehicles, thousands of vehicles, SAPS have increased. Yet, I'm pretty sure if we ask you how many of these sector policing that are there are at phase 5 of implementation, we're going to get a worse answer than the previous year, because it seems to me that we are regressing on this issue. We've even asked at some point, is this still the policy of SAPS? You know, rural areas, I've raised this issue previously as well. People, my constituency is a rural area. I stay in a rural area. People that are in sector commanders in that area would tell you that we've asked for GPS. Just that. Because it will make our response time that much more quicker. Because there's no lights in the area. There's no, and I'm pretty sure other members can attest to this from the areas that they represent. It's a simple thing. It doesn't even cost much. The issue of CPS, you're now telling us, and that's where members are correct, that's where the presentation makes it difficult for us. Because at one point when you were talking about CPS, you were telling us that they're functioning well, that they're basically everywhere, etc., etc. Now the problem is CPS. And the sector forums connected with the CPS. I don't know whether it's necessary to respond to this. I don't think so. I think what we need to find out is a commitment from SAPS that it will actually be properly implemented at all stations. Yet again, we're asking for a commitment. And if you can't think, tell us honestly, no, we won't be able to come to you at the end of the next financial year and say to you that it's been implemented fully, phase 5, fully at all substations. That's what we're asking for. We have provided the funds for this, more than enough.
Chairperson, thank you for those comments. Again, I'd like to say we come here to present the facts of what we have done for the year, the sufficiency, insufficiency, or insufficiency thereof becomes a product of the deliberations we've had. In some of the areas we are actually in advance to actually say we haven't sufficiently dealt with this matter, we still deal with certain issues. A lot of our processes, as you've appropriately put it, are not events, they are processes. They are subject to continuous improvement, and unfortunately in implementing such processes, you're never dealing with a perfect science. There will always be weaknesses, there will always be challenges. The commitment you are asking for, we put before you. I'd like to say one of my very preliminary assessments in terms of this area that you're discussing is that like all other, you know, social solutions that we're having in this country, we tend to forget what rural areas are about. We'd like to import urban solutions for rural areas. I'm engaging with the team to try try and understand the sector policies in terms of rural ramifications and implications. And that would be part and parcel of the broader rural strategy, not just rural safety, rural strategy of policing that we'll be looking into as an organization. Because I sincerely believe that it's a point of growth, it's a point of intervention that we as the police should be looking into. You have our commitment, we will continue to improve, we will take the input that we've received from this committee to further advance this process that we're involved in delivering it. And to the extent that our interventions for the current year haven't met the sufficiency level, we acknowledge the feedback that we've received and we will continue on the journey of continuous improvement. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, can I get an indication? Is there, first let me ask Saps, are there any outstanding, according to my list, we have dealt with all the questions, are there any outstanding questions that you believe I've missed that you still want to respond to from Saps' side? Members, last opportunity from your side. Is there any further questions that you would like to ask this board? One question from the Honourable Quarterman.
No question. I'm just requesting that in future someone looks through and tries to spell KwaZulu-Natal correctly. It's misspelled about 5 times.
It's not the worst thing. It's KwaZulu-Natal after all. I've got one last question that I want to ask, and I know it doesn't necessarily fall under this program, but it influences and impacts on this program, I think, tremendously. And that is the RAG. We've heard that there's a review of the RAG, resource allocation. We want to know how far that process is. Let me first say that whether it is true that there's a review of the RAG, how far that process is, and then we would ask, the sensibility of doing it before you receive the census data.
Chairperson, the question you're asking is related to the session that I'll be having with you as a portfolio committee. I'll be able to address all the matters then. Because indeed, as I steer this sheet forward, I need to get everything, and that is also included.
Is a revisit, but we ask you then, just National Commissioner, to take in consideration, and maybe you can find out from Stats SA when they see themselves releasing the census data, because it will impact on your RAG as well. You might not realize that suddenly there's 100,000 people more in the area, etc. So just consider that. That's what we're asking.
I have chances, and I've actually spoken to Brazil Wooden. He's indicated that the census will be out soon.
Honourable George, I want to close this session, so if you can keep it short, please.
I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to the general has promised us that he's going to present us a strategy. I'll be very happy if in that strategy the Islam detail plan on this turnaround strategy also on substating. I've seen the report we've had today, but this has been one of the biggest problems whenever we visit police stations. It would be good if we can get now, this is the way this whole thing is going to be turned around, so that when even we visit police stations, we're able to check, because the changes might not come immediately. If you start something, they might be gradual, but at least might be able to observe that there is something that's being done.
It might take 14 years, like the DVA, the changes. We hope not. Now, the National Commissioner yesterday, when we spoke about this issue with the detectives, actually indicated that self-serving stores is also part of that. If I'm not mistaken, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you did say that the self-serving store, the management thereof, was also part of it.
Yes, we'll look at that as part of the SCM and all other processes.
Members, in closing this session, because we will start our next session immediately, I want to say that while we acknowledge the hard work and the dedication of the many thousands of police officers in this program, we are not blind to the management issues that persist within this program either. Whether they are, and again, National Commissioner, what is clear from what we've heard here today, from your own presentation and also from the questions that the members are asking, is again the lack of consequences. The absence of your cluster, your provincial management in addressing some of these issues before they become the crisis that you've got to defend here at the Portfolio Committee. And this is the biggest slice of the budget. And this is why we spend time on this program that we do. And this is also the program that impacts directly on people's perception of the SAPS. That is, there's no question about it. You, the people that you represent here today, are the first point of contact, whether it's in the community service center or whether it is at the scene of a crime. They're the first point of contact for the ordinary member of the public. And we put pressure on detectives to get convictions. We're putting pressure on you to improve the service that the people of South Africa are feeling, so that we can change the perception. And I say again, we acknowledge the work that is done, but we're not blind to the challenges that remain. And all these challenges, whether it's at station level, cluster level, provincial level, seems to be issues that we can address through proper management. And we hope when we come back next year, first of all in the budget process, that we are going to have performance targets that we can agree to, that speaks to the problem, that also speaks to the service delivery that needs to happen, but more importantly, when we get back for the annual report next year, that this program will not be our problem child again. You know, there's many questions that I know that members want to ask, suggestions they want to make, but we're so bogged down in the detail of what is not being addressed that we can't get to it. And it's not because members don't want to be positive. It's because members have a responsibility in the separation of powers in this country to keep this management accountable for the significant slice of the 62 billion rand budget of the SAPS. And as long as we can understand that, we can walk this road together. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for answering the questions. Members, we're going to break. It's 3:10. Break for a 10-minute coffee break. There's coffee outside, Mr. George, I promise. And then we come back and we will start, National Commissioner, you can indicate when we start, whether we're starting with crime intelligence or protection services. Doesn't matter, as long as we start with